Hey, if it feels like Chris Johnson's been on the Fishing Guide podcast like all the time, or at least last week or something, he's back on. But that's not his fault. It's my fault. And it is kind of his fault because he turned around, won a tournament. And I mean, now you're in the national qualifying event for Bassmasters. And it's like, you got to come back in, talk to us about catching fish, and talk to us about what that qualifying means, because and explain to them how close you were before when you fished. Was that 2 years ago?
It would have been in 22, I think.
22.
So it'd be three years ago now that I was at the national championship in Monroe, Louisiana, and the top three went to the Bassmasters Classic. I came in fourth. So I rode that whole tournament sitting in fourth place, start to finish, just never inched up to that third spot. But
yeah, close to the Bassmaster Classic.
Yes.
I don't know. I was going to look up to see how many people have actually fished in the Bassmaster Classic, you know, because there's only so many people that have ever fished in there, and you're fishing against your opportunity right now is you're fishing against thousands of anglers to qualify.
Yes, through the what's called the Bass Nation. So through the Bass Nation, there's all your clubs and your local groups that go to a state championship and then go from a state championship to a qualifying event and then on to the national championship and then on possibly to the Bassmasters Classic. And that's changed some over the last few years where they've opened it up a little bigger through what they call you do your normal club thing, which is what I fished the last 2 weeks. I fished the Arkansas Bass Nation State Championship on Bull Shoals 2 weeks ago. And then I fished the Kansas Bass Nation State Championship last week on Grand, which is where I qualified to go straight to the national championship through that tournament. So that's through each state you have that opportunity. Right. And then through each state you have an opportunity to go to what's called a qualifier. Now, if you know the Bass Nation from years ago, those would have been your regional championships. So each state gets 10 spots to give at their state championship to qualify for a qualifier. So like at our tournament at Kansas last week, the qualifier for the Central will be on Toledo Bend next spring. 10 guys from this tournament will be at Toledo Bend trying to punch a ticket to the national championship as well. So everyone, though, is trying to get to the national championship. We're still the top three will get a berth into the Bassmasters Classic. Also, the top-placing finisher earns a berth into the Elite Series.
Wow.
A $50,000 check.
Yeah.
Second place gets a Bassmasters Classic berth. Entry fees paid into the Opens if they want to fish those. And third place gets that as well, and a paycheck. So a lot of opportunity there for regional and local guys like myself that have dreamed of that, you know, maybe making the Classic or to get on fish something really big like that. So that's a kind of a brief overview of what it kind of looks like.
So you punched your ticket. And so where are you going to fish the championship at?
The championship for this in 26 will be November 26 on Lake Hartwell in South Carolina. Will be the Bass Nation National Championship.
Wow. So, and is there an off-limits period?
It will be off-limits. About 30 days prior to the tournament will be off-limits. So, but it'll have some open time between now and then that you can go fish or whatever.
Right.
So usually it's I think Bass usually does 30 days prior.
It is so far away. It's not like you're just going to hop in your boat. No. And, like if it was at Grand Lake, you'd be there all the time.
Yeah, I'd spend the rest of the year over there. But I'll probably try to schedule in a trip or two, though, to try to go out there.
Going
to
pull the old Ranger?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's probably my number one goal at this point in my life is to somehow get that old Ranger in the Bassmasters Classic.
You need to get a flag, like, as you're driving to South Carolina?
Yeah.
Bassmaster Classic or bust?
Yeah. There,
you know?
That's a good
idea. And put, like, a flag there, and, like, every time you go, like, you know, wherever. Donations to get your gas money there. And
that's a great idea.
Sit at those Walmart intersections and like pull your boat up. Like,
Classic or
classic
bust.
I just need gas money.
Yeah, please. I love it. Yeah.
Well, if you didn't have that big old gas guzzling truck that you got, you would get a little more efficiency
and
on that.
Carb mercury, it eats fuel too. So, fuels can be a situation.
And that's a pretty big reservoir, but
it is massive.
I tend to believe that you'll cut it down into the shallow end.
More than likely, that's what'll happen.
Right. So what people don't, if you don't know, Chris doesn't have, like electronic-wise, he doesn't have forward-facing sonar. He does have a Lowrance unit, but it's just regular traditional sonar, so not the forward-facing. So he does it old school. So to come in, you came in second place the tournament over on Grand Lake.
Yep.
And so once again, there's always people that go, you know, if you don't have forward-facing, you can't compete. And all of a sudden, Chris comes back to the house, and he says, I got to be on this show again because – Old school does it. And it probably is very helpful that all those guys are out there throwing shaky minnows and you're on that bank and it's a quiet frontier.
It is pretty open water anymore. And I think sometimes for a lot of guys, it's just a distraction. They can't stay away from it. Some, you know, me, I just got buckled down on what I know and grind, you know, and that tournament over there was an absolute grinder. I mean, it was brutally tough. It was just all about fishing old school, hard, thinking about every cast, every opportunity, and then capitalize on it.
Did you catch any on the pistol grip?
I did not.
Oh.
No. Oh, there was zero spinner bait bite or anything like that allowed me to do that. I actually was jig fishing for the most part of that tournament. A jig and a small crankbait, but the majority of all my bass came on old school bucktail jig with an Uncle Josh pork frog on there.
I see you brought some stuff, brother. So why don't you show us what you have there? Yeah, and this is from the tournament, right?
Yep, this is the baits I used in the tournament.
And, okay.
Almost all my fish came on either a brown, a bucktail jig.
Uh-huh. What is this, an Archie head? Is that Archie style? Is that
it's
what
a
that's
style,
called?
Style, yeah. It's one I make through Arkansas Custom Tackle. But it's shaped somewhat like an Archie style head. It's super weedless. And then I was just pairing that with a number 11 old school brown pork frog. The real thing.
Right. The real pork frog.
The real thing.
So where do you get real pork frog nowadays?
Well,
do you have a pig farm?
Yeah, I wish I did. Truthfully, I got really fortunate and happened across and bought a bunch of old stock.
Yeah.
I've got 150 jars of old school pork that probably get me through the rest of my life, I hope. But you can still buy it. They make the number 11 frog again.
Oh, they do. And, they went back to making it.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah. Okay. So you can get very limited colors, but it just got such a wonderful action on it. So I was fishing that on the jig. The bite was super tough.
Right.
And I have so much confidence in a bucktail jig that just from my childhood growing up, and I know I'm fishing, you know, when I'm fishing shallow or really fishing anymore these days, you're always behind somebody a lot. So I know with this combination that I'm not following somebody throwing the same thing.
Right. So, tell us about this jig right here. So fine wire hook kind of in a way.
Yeah. It's kind of a mid range hook in this jig. So, kind of a mid-range lighter wire hook. It's a 3/8 ounce, just a fiber weed guard.
Right.
Then hand tied with what I call a muddler collar with bucktail. Right. And kind of a relatively thin skirt. It's not too overpowering. And I just paired up with a chunk trailer. I use the Zoom plastic chunks as well at times with this jig. But it's real simplistic of the old days. This is this is how jig fishing started right here. A jig very similar to this.
So, is it good for skipping? Can you skip it?
Skips very well. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. I was skipping docks with it all weekend.
Right.
Fishing docks with, you know, 3 to 8 feet of water underneath them, and pitching it up in underneath or skipping it underneath those docks.
So you have this jig, and the question, and I know you've has been asked this question, you've probably answered it same number of times it's been asked. Pork frog up, pork frog down.
I'm a pork frog fat up guy.
Fat up.
Yeah.
All right.
It's I know it's a I know it's a deep conversation on that.
Yes.
And you know, there's people probably think I'm a I don't know what I'm doing, but you know, my dad, Hewlin, they were jig gurus.
Right.
Pork fat up on a jig. So that's what I do, and it's always worked great for me. So.
Do you think there's a reason why it works better like that?
I don't know that it makes any difference. I've tried it both ways.
Right.
I always end up back to the way I've always done it. So I don't know. I haven't noticed that it makes the legs move any different or anything like that. So,
yeah.
But I'm definitely a fat up guy.
Fat up guy.
Fat up.
There you go.
It's also a lot easier to hit that little tiny hole that's in that pork frog to get that on.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
On the smooth side.
The older you get.
Yeah.
The easier it gets.
Yes. So,
so you talked about making these, and actually we'll just ask you some about, so you have a company that actually you build spinner baits and you build jigs and, you know, hair jigs. And so, How's that working with fishing tournaments? Are you you're not literally making these before the tournament? You make them for them afterwards. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
You don't give them your give them your stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I do. You know, I make a lot of jigs, and which I make a full line of bucktail jigs, living rubber, hand tied living rubber jigs,
like old traditional living rubber.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So like a mop jig.
Yep. Yeah, no full skirt or spider skirt living rubber, either the round or even some of the square steel.
Really?
Living rubber, still do that. The bucktail and then the full line spinner baits, a lot of old school designs. I'd still do a short arm, like nighttime spinner bait. Any plethora of things. For me, it's the lure company's been about kind of taking what's old and still running with it, because there's, you know, stuff like this you're not going to find anywhere.
No. And, well, not of quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth fishing with. Uh-huh. But from a tournament realm and fishing and my YouTube, it has just exploded the lure company for me. I'm super busy building baits. And I really didn't take an effect, my YouTube would have any effect on selling lures, but it's turned into just nonstop. So.
Well, it doesn't hurt that you almost win the tournament, you finish second, and it's the products that you make. So, but it also means that you can fine tune the stuff while you're on the water too. Even though it doesn't look like it needs any fine tuning, but knowing all you custom lure builders, I mean, you're probably counting the number of little buck hairs on this.
Yep.
So, what's the count on the weed guard? Is this a 40, 35, 32?
Yeah.
30?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
30.
Yeah.
So 30. I don't want ones too stiff.
Right.
And
that's what makes a good jig?
Huh? Yes.
That's what makes
a
good jig.
Well, you need a balance. It depends. Uh-huh. You want to jig a weed guard that is stiff enough to not, if you put some slight pressure, like these haven't been trimmed yet, but I'll trim it to where I want my finger to, if you put a amount of pressure, just running your finger over it,
right,
that when it's trimmed, it'll, if you push on it a little bit, it'll stick,
right,
but you don't want it to be where you're not really putting any pressure on it and it won't stick, so that way it'll still get through the cover but still gives you freedom to set the hook
right
and to really stick the fish. So like this would need to be trimmed straight off for these longest tips to almost touch my hook,
right,
and as I run my hand across it, if I begin to put pressure, it'll stick my hand. But if I don't really put any pressure, I want my hand to slide right over, if that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But, and I jig fish a lot still. I grew up jig fishing, and, you know, this week was all about a really subtle presentation with that jig and fishing ultra slow.
Really slow?
Like ultra slow. Uh-huh. Literally just pitching it into a dock on a piece of brush, pulling that jig up on a limb, and just leave it sitting there. And just, you're literally almost waiting a fish out to pluck it off that limb.
Uh-huh.
The slower you could keep it just sitting on a piece of cover, and you're just holding it tight, and then finally creep it over and let it fall back down.
Right.
Maybe creep it back up and just wait. And all of a sudden, just pick it up. But if you were doing the normal hop, hop, hop,
Right.
You are not going to get bit. You would not get bit. So I think it just, it's a pressure thing this time of year. And
and Grand Lake gets a lot of pressure.
It does.
So
it
they have a lot of the classics, you know, the local classics are happening there.
Yeah, major tournaments all the time. You know, Toyota Championship a week ago. And so and that's where some of this old school stuff for me plays out. Just I know I'm fishing something these fish haven't seen.
Right. So,
but that's what I was using, that. And this, I was also backing that up part of the day.
Okay. Got sharp hooks.
Yeah. Gamagatsu round bends is the best hook ever made. But just an old school Rebel Humpy crankbait from probably early 80s,
wow.
70s. That was what I was backing it up with, and I was catching a number of bass on that these two plugs during the tournament.
Is that a humpy too?
Yeah. Yeah, these are.
But it's orange, right?
Yeah, well, it was a crawdad brown with
crawdad.
Orange bend. But just old baits, they got they're really great hunting action on these baits. And again, it's just a bait I know nobody else. I'm not following somebody down the bank throwing one of these.
No. And, no, you're not.
So
pretty sure of that.
It's so those they're that jig and that bait is what I fished the entire tournament with. So but cool old
and
stuff.
So the tournament you just fished in, you had a partner, like a co-angler, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
They still have co-anglers in that.
Yes.
And
yes.
So you got to fish with two different people?
I got to, yes. Three? So just like a lot of the tournaments now, the co-angler participation is way down on a lot of tournaments, even the big tournaments anymore. So two of the days I had a co-angler, one day I fished by myself. So based on the number of coves they got, they'll shift it around to where maybe guys that didn't have one the day before will have one the next day.
Right.
Even in the opens and stuff like that, I've been fishing before they went to no coves. It would be like that. Just they'd get everybody one, and then the next day, anybody didn't have one would get. So they'd kind of try to balance it out, and that's the way it was over there.
Right.
So
is that from the same state? Are they from the same state? I mean, are they like from Kansas? Were they all from Kansas? Or
they're from all over the place. Well, Kansas, Oklahoma.
Right.
I think I was the only guy from Arkansas there. And a lot of states are doing that now where guys can, you know, it's like in Arkansas, we got some guys from Missouri, even down Mississippi that are part of the Bass Nation. They may be a member of a club that's in Arkansas, that type of thing. So maybe they're close to state line or something like that. And they come and fish that state championship. So, and that happens all over the nation like that.
Well, let's take a second to talk about tournament preparation. So when you got ready to fish there, kind of take us through the steps of what you started with first, and maybe if you went over there and pre-fished.
Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of an interesting week there because I'd fished Bull Shoals all the week prior to that. And was kind of fishing deep again over there, and kind of a little different. So came home one day. I hadn't been to Grand all year long, but my process is usually I had one day I come home, kind of resituated my rods to what I thought was going to be happening at Grand a little bit. So I really thought there was going to be a spinnerbait bite and a topwater, you know. So I sat down and kind of revamped the boat, kind of reorganized to Grand Lake over, say, Bull Shoals.
Bull Shoals being a very clear reservoir.
Yes.
Highland Reservoir.
Yes.
It's gin clear.
Yes. And there's a lot of shallow fish there, but I still was – you're just different setup. So through that process, I got all that done. I headed to Grand on Monday to first day, give me two full days of pre-fish. And my process on pre-fishing is almost about trying to eliminate as much as possible as I can as establishing. So any lake I go to anywhere, I want to get a few bites, but I'm usually working through more of, I can't get any bites doing that. So let's just say if I'm looking for a spinnerbait bite, I'm going to spend a lot of time working through a couple of different, whether it's maybe this time of year burning a spinnerbait or waking a spinnerbait, different scenarios in key areas to see if I can get bites doing that. If I'm not getting any bites after a pretty good period of time, I can begin to go, that can kind of go on the back burner and start working through something else.
Right.
And so for me, I spent the whole first day doing spinnerbait fishing top water. It was cloudy, kind of dreary.
Right? Yeah, it's nice
and,
weather.
I went down on the far end of the lake looking for maybe a pattern that might be more below the tournament open type of thing, bigger fish, shallower fish, and just couldn't find it. So for me, it's about checking, okay, don't have to worry about that. That's not going to work for me this week. And so really just almost kind of work backwards, eliminating.
Right.
Some other things I like doing, like throwing a floating worm and some other stuff in the fall. I went and worked through some of that, you know, just, check that off. That ain't working. right. To finally find myself into the fish that I found here, which have historically been good for me my entire life over there in that Wolf Creek area. And there's released fish everywhere around there, but that sailboat bridge, Wolf Creek, you know, and finally – in the last day, I was like, well, let's go down there and see if we can just get a few bites, then figure out what we're going to do. Pulled up down into that area with a jig, began to catch a few very quickly, started catching a few on the crankbait. At that point, I was like, okay, I know that's good. I spent the rest of that day running around throwing spinnerbait and some other stuff where the water's more colored. Never got a bite.
Wow.
So caught very few fish. For me, pre-fishes are usually not about catching much.
Right.
But checking things off the list. So now I was pretty well down to it's going to be this jig and that crankbait, and let's go do the work. And that's just what I did the whole tournament. But that's how I pre-fish about everything. Oh, okay. So
that's great information. Yeah, so
I go a little different. Most guys are going out trying to nail down, you know,
how the honey hole.
They win the pre-fish, you know.
Have you ever won any money in the pre-fishing tournament?
Not once. Not once. Ever. Ever. But boy, it has burned me so bad. We've all been there, you know. You think you got it. And so I'm also looking for that one bite that is, hey, I think this is just starting to happen.
Right.
Like, and sure enough, in multiple day events, if you kind of get that one bite, so many on tournaments that I've done really well in multiple days, it was that one bite that was kind of like, oh, this is starting to happen a little bit.
Right.
And then it's beginning to unfold as the tournament happens. Because normally, if you are just smoking them, I mean, you're catching them like crazy on Tuesday.
Right.
You're at the peak of that bite. It's you're on the downhill slide. So it's going to be getting worse every day from there. So that's kind of how I look at it. So I hate going out on a pre-fish day and it's just lights out. I'm like, oh no, this is going away.
that takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures has a complete line of hard and soft baits. So if you're out there trying to catch a crappie or a bass or striper, white bass, you name it, walleye, they got a lure you can catch them on. And more than likely, it's probably going to be a Scopi jig head if you're out there crappie fishing. So check them out. That's the perfect jig for crappie fishing. Also, B&M poles. B&M poles, just like Pico Lures, man, they have poles you can catch trout and brim and catfish and whatever you're fishing for, they have it. And they have a full line of different rods that will allow you to do that. And they also have the brand new BGJP 18 and 20 footer. I fished with the 20 footer a couple days ago, had a ball catching fish with a 20 foot pole. And I'm telling you, I thought I got in the back of this cove and I could just reach both sides, man. I was like, hey, don't get too close to me. I got this rod. Don't get too close to me because I'm a good fisherman. Don't get too close because they got this 20-foot rod that's out there, and I'm just trying to pitch a little jig. But anyway, you can check them out at bnmpole.com. Chris, if they want to find out more, hey, if you want to get some jigs, obviously these are awesome jigs. I'm glad that you're leaving them here.
Yeah.
But where would they go?
You can go. The best place to go is just to go to my Facebook, Arkansas Custom Tackle Facebook. We don't have a website or anything like that. You can go there and just message me there, or our phone numbers are there.
Okay.
Just give me a shout. It's all old school. Just give me a call. We'll figure out what you want.
How about social media? Do you want to follow me on social media, especially coming into this year?
Yep. You can go to my YouTube, which is Aspiring Tournament Angler Chris Johnson.
Right.
Go to my YouTube there. You can follow along there. I do a lot of tips and whatever's updates on tournaments and things like that or whatever, right. and just everyday stuff. You know?
There you go. Yeah, I know. I give you a thumbs up every once in a while. I watch them. I don't always give you a thumbs up. I don't want you to get a fat head.
No.
Aspiring anglers need to still have some challenge.
We need to stay at aspiring, you know.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp and your lures in the water.